What makes new Simply Summer's Eve Feminine Wash different? It's simple. Seriously, that's the answer. It's made with simple ingredients. Ingredients that help stop odor and help you maintain a naturally healthy pH, gently and effectively. Here's what Simply Summer's Eve ingredients do not include. Harsh chemicals, dyes, alcohol, or parabens. And it comes in light, refreshing scents like mandarin blossom and coconut water. New Simply Summer's Eve Gentle Foaming Wash and Cleansing Cloths. Gentle by nature. Click the tile to learn more.
Aloha, everybody. This is Kathy Bilski, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show on UPRN Radio. And this is February 23rd, 2018. And I hope you are having a really wonderful week. Today, we're going to talk about gun control. How can we not? And a couple weeks ago, I went to Tokyo, Japan, and we're going to talk about the people, the land, and the radiation. But first, we're going to talk about gun control. And man, I have to say, I really honor all those kids that are really speaking out and not letting the adults get away with crap anymore and lies and non-action. You know, I their lead follow or just get out of our way. You know, go, guys. You know, you give me hope. And when I see that, to me, that's people awakening. And, you know, those kids have a mission and a purpose, and they've got a big one. And I have to say, NRA, I think I'd be running like the wind right now, because you are not going to defeat these guys. No way. So I have a little paper that I was very impressed with, and it was written by my son, who's an ex-Marine, and it's called Time for Gun Control. Now, I hate to post a political post, but I feel pretty strongly about this. Like the person in the article, I trained with M16s and various other weapons, grenades to machine guns. I love them all. They're fun as hell to shoot, but they have no business being in civilian hands. None whatsoever. Sorry, it's how I feel. They are weapons of war. You can still shoot with pistols, rifles, or shotguns. At a young age, my uncles taught me how to deer hunt, and they never carried more than 3 rounds with them. One shot, one kill. If you couldn't get a clean shot, you didn't shoot. Pretty simple stuff. I don't get the argument that an AR-15 can be used for hunting. There is no point. The bullets are small and not efficient for big game. For that, you need something bigger than the reliable 30-06 that will easily take down a deer, a bear, and you don't need 27 rounds to do it. Also, a rifle is pretty stupid for home defense, too. You're better off with a pistol or a shotgun. For those that say, F you, and the Second Amendment gives me the right, no, it doesn't. It does not give you the right to carry any weapon you want, and it's within the rights of the states or federal government to regulate what weapons civilians can carry. Otherwise, morons would be walking around with belt-fed machine guns because, well, they're cool and scary looking. You do not have the right to automatic weapons, high-capacity magazines, bump stocks, and so on. The Second Amendment says your right to bear arms shall not be infringed. Sorry, but that's not a blank check to carry whatever you want. Just because the weapon is or can be made doesn't mean that it should be available to the public or that you have the right to carry it. And for the argument that guns don't kill people, people kill people, well, why should we make it easy and convenient for them to do so? Everything, and I mean everything, in our lives is regulated. You don't get to drive your car without going through driver's training and then X number of hours of practice. And guess what? You register with the state and buy freaking insurance in case you hurt somebody. Perhaps we should require every gun owner to start buying gun insurance. What can I say other than, yeah, I think that's a great idea. And that's coming from an ex-Marine. Now, I have to say to that, if I could pull this up, because I had it and then I lost it. Oh no. No. Oh, no. Oh, dear. Oh, here we go. All right. So, to the all those people that want to buy guns, and especially the kids, I said, how about we treat every young man who wants to buy a gun like every woman who wants to get an abortion? Mandatory 48-hour waiting period, parental permission, a note from his doctor proving he understands what he's about to do, a video he has to watch about the effects of gun violence, an ultrasound wand up the rear just 'cause. Let's close down all but one gun shop in every state and make him travel hundreds of miles, take time off from work, and stay overnight in a strange town to get a gun. Make him walk through a gauntlet of people holding photos of loved ones who were shot to death. People will call him a murderer and beg him not to buy a gun. It makes more sense to do this with young men and guns than with women and health care. I mean, no woman getting an abortion has killed a room full of people in seconds, right? And that's what I feel about gun control. So what I want to share with you now is I went on a really lovely trip to Japan, and like I said in the ad, I'm going to talk about the land, the people, and the radiation. Now, I was in bed for a week after I got back from Japan, and I know it's because I'm not used to breathing high radiation. Now, we live in a very highly radiated planet. You can't escape it. Some areas are worse than others. If you live near a nuclear plant, well, you're at ground zero. And you're really getting highly radiated. If you're living in Japan, you are at ground zero. And you are also being highly radiated. Now, radiation, you can't touch, see, feel. I mean, unless you're like at Fukushima and really got blasted. And you got radiation sickness and poisoning, and right away. And in Japan, for those of you that don't remember, they had a nuclear accident at Fukushima. And that was about 5, 6 years ago. Japan has the Japanese government has a gag order on what's happening in Fukushima. And it spit out radiation for 6 years going unchecked. I don't even think they're bothering anymore to even make the attempt at trying to stop it. That's how crazy it is. Now, it said Fukushima is also run by the mob, the Yakuza. And I want to say something, y'all, you guys in the Yakuza, what the hell are you thinking? Do you not think this radiation is not affecting your own families and your children and your grandchildren, your wives, your lovers, your best friends? Hello? You think there's an invisible wall keeping the radiation from Fukushima in so it doesn't affect anybody except the people that are there that you're screwing, that have got to fix this? And you're skimming off the top of their funds? So people that are fixing Fukushima are so depressed that they're drinking and doing drugs, and those are the people that are supposed to fix it? The ones that aren't really conscious? What the hell are you thinking? And the Japanese government that puts a gag order on this, out of sight, out of mind, and it's so bad that they want to have the Winter Olympics in 2020 in Japan. Wow. Now, radiation affects everybody. All right. You go to ground zero and you're an athlete and you're out there stressing your body. That radiation's going to go to your heart, or it can go to your heart, which is one of the biggest muscles, and radiation affects the muscles in the body. People have heart attacks. It's scary. You cannot anymore think that we're not living in high radiation, because we are, and it's how you deal with it. And none of our governments are speaking about this. None of them. I can't tell you how many people have come into my store this week. And like I said, I've been sick with what I call Fukushima flu, and that's reacting from high radiation. I'm from Hawaii. Now we're getting hit with radiation. Everybody is. Now, I'm not at ground zero. We've got trade winds that blow. And I'm used to breathing really clean, clean air as there's going to be on the planet. That's highly radiated, okay? If I can't get that through your mind tonight, I don't know what, but. So you've got to address the radiation. And like I said, when I went to Japan, I had an incredible time, which I'm going to talk about. Yet when I come back, I got sicker than a dog. I was in bed for almost a week, and I'm just pulling out of it now. So now, people have asked me, what is it like to have radiation sickness? Well, I call it Fukushima flu. When I got back home, I was fine for one day. The next day, I could not get out of bed. I couldn't eat. I couldn't drink anything. And thank God I've got a wonderful friend who's my best friend ever, who I listen to deeply. And she says, drink water. And I forced myself to drink water. Don't have water in your body, you are not going to heal, and everything's going to shut down, which doesn't work really well for me. And of course, you get the congestion and the sniffles and the nose runs, and you got the cough, and it's in your chest, and you have absolutely no energy to do anything. And I literally just laid in bed and forced fluids in me. I forced myself to take vitamins. All right. Now, I will own I did take Benadryl to get rid of that runny nose. And by God, yay for Benadryl, because it worked. Yeah, you do whatever it takes to heal yourself. Darn it. I have no limitations. Now, before I left to go to Japan, I really did everything I could to get myself in shape. I rested, took extra vitamins, did cleansing baths, and the whole bit. And I still got sick when I got back. So I could imagine what it would have been like if I wouldn't have done any of that stuff. So if you're going to go on a trip, get yourself into shape, okay? Now, I went to the grocery store, and they've got those little pill containers that Monday, one, they list the days of the week. And I actually unconsciously, because it was so cheap, I got two, and I was only going to be in Japan for 7 days. But something told me go ahead and make 2 weeks worth of vitamins. And I don't have, they've got two kinds of containers. They've got a little short one and a little deep one, and I got the deep one, and I filled that sucker up with vitamins. So after I got back, I didn't realize when I made these extra vitamins that I would be so sick when I got back. I really wouldn't want to put together any of my vitamins that I needed to take, yet I knew, and you have to take them, and I already had them all ready to go, an extra 5 days worth. Oh, Spirit, you are so cool, and I am so glad I listened. Now, I wanted to start off with the radiation because it is really important when you go to Japan that you're conscious of it. And again, like I said, it's everywhere around the world. And depending on your health and where you're going and your precautions and how well you cleanse is how badly and how much and how quick you're going to take it on and how quick you're going to recover. And trust me, after 7 days of now being able to function, oh, thank you, God. But let me get to my back. Let's get back to the Japan trip. Now, why did I go? Well, after Fukushima blew up, I told myself I will never go to Japan. Who wants to be in high radiation like that, huh? Yeah, well, don't ever say never. And my other attitude is, I know I'm supposed to travel somewhere when God puts a ticket in my hand. So I had this beautiful Japanese group of women come in, and after I did energy work with them and they did their thing, they asked me if I've ever been to Japan, and I said no. And they said, would you like to go? And what come out of my mouth to my surprise was, sure, send me a ticket and I'll go. And they got really excited. And I'm thinking, what the hell did I just agree to? Did I just agree to going to Japan? I have a feeling this one's real. And then I started making things. And this poor woman, Sayoko Sakai, if you ever need a really good tour guide, this woman rocks, all right? She is awesome. Well, we decided to go around that I could come out around February, around Valentine's Day, which was, I thought would be really cool to be in Japan for that. And so I just sat back, and I didn't sit back, I made product. And then I waited for her to put everything together, and my goodness, she did. So let me start with Japan Air. Have you ever flown to Japan Air? If you go to Japan, I would consider it highly. From the very moment you get your ticket, they are really wonderful, sweet, and kind. And where the American side, where they have to make you take off your shoes and whatever you got on your feet is what you get. Well, on the Japan side, they let you wear little slippers so your feet's not on the icky ground. Isn't that cool? Now, you get on the airplane, and for those of you that have flown United, and I'm sure a lot of you have, where you've got the side seats and where there really should be two seats, they now cram three in there and you are really miserable. Oh, I swear to God, Japan Air should be paying me for this, but they're not. They had two seats, all right? Big seats. Oh my God. And then the seat next to me was empty. So I had that whole two huge seats to myself. And they had the best movies ever free. They give you a free meal and snacks and, all the rest that goes with it, the bells and whistles. Very, very awesome. Just wonderful. And then you get to the airport, and customs was fun, but they were kind. And when they understood what I was doing, they went, okay, you're through. And my friends picked me up at the airport. which, if you ever traveled and you don't know where the heck you're going, it's so lovely to have somebody waiting for you there. And I have to say, the Japanese people are some of the most loving, kind, most generous, clean people I have ever met. So I flew into the Tokyo Narita Airport, and then we got a bus and took it to the hotel that they put me in. And it was a 4-star hotel. I'm in this place, rocked. They had a bathtub that is just wow, very deep, very large. And for those of you guys that got a deep, large bathtub, let me tell you what kind of bathtub I use, okay? I have a shower. I went and bought a plastic clothespin, one that fit the shower. It's probably, it's 2.5 feet by what, 2 feet? And I just cram my little body into that, and that's how I get my cleanse. So to be in a super huge bathtub that you can actually stretch out, and oh my God, we're talking heaven. And then this is oh my God. And yes, I get excited every time I think about this. You ladies, you will get this 100%. All right. So when you go to the commode and you go to put your tush down on that toilet seat, it's heated. Oh my heart. I know. I said the word heated. You have not lived until you've sat in a on a heated toilet seat. I mean, especially in February, where it's the coldest month in Japan, okay? And your room's a little chilly, and you sit down and you hit that warm, and you're just going, wow, this is really luxury. I know, it's the little things in life, right? Well, that was the big thing. Now, Japan, Tokyo, I know they've got a lot of radiation there, and it shouldn't stop you. If you really want to go to Japan, then by golly, go. That's how I felt. I'm 65. I want to see it. However, I didn't realize, because I'm also on jet lag at this point in time. 7 o'clock right now would be it would be like 2:30 in Japan in the afternoon, where from tomorrow, all right, the next day, not today, but tomorrow. I'm going through jet lag, and when I wake up in the morning in Japan, in Hawaii time, that would, you go eat, and that would be my lunch, and then lunch would be my dinner in Hawaii. And then in Japan, of course, that was only lunch, so you would have another dinner, and which would be like a Tuesday dinner for me. And yeah, that was really interesting, but the food was so good, you eat it, Look your eyes, big your eyes get, you eat it. It's great. However, Tokyo is very, very clean, and it's actually the largest city on the planet that has over 38 million people crammed into this little huge place. It's really amazing. And because they're so clean, you don't see any kind of trash. And the air is looks clean. I mean, I've been to dirty cities in India and France and in the United States, and I didn't see any pollution in Tokyo. Okay. So my brain isn't registering well that I should be wearing a mask. You go to Tokyo, you go outside, you really, really need to wear some kind of face mask. And a lot of the Japanese people do wear them. I have one that's a little bit, I don't know, if it filters out a lot more than I wear on the airplane. And why in the world I just didn't do that when I was in Tokyo, I guess I needed to learn the hard lesson the hard way. You gotta do it when you travel in Tokyo. And because there's so many people, just everybody is polite. They don't yell at each other. You don't hear people yell down the block, "Hey, you," or whatever. They respect each other. They understand that there's a lot of people crammed into a little bit of space. And if you don't respect each other, oh my God, United States, what a concept. Life is harder. And that to me was amazing. I mean, you walk down the streets in downtown Tokyo and you got cars going by, but you don't hear people beeping their horn and really being obnoxious. They're respectful of each other. Now, I am sharing with you Tokyo from my eyes. All right. Now, my Sayoko and Yasu Kano were the two people that invited me over, and Yasu is a big manga artist over there. So that was interesting, and they took me around to do some, not only do a seminar, but also to see Tokyo and some of Japan. And they took me to temples. Oh my goodness. There's one temple that there's like 90 stalls that you have to go through, walk through to get to the temple. And then they've got this big fire pit in the center, and you go get some incense and you stick it in the fire in the hot coals. And then, it's like sage in the Native American. You take that smoke and you blow it over and you cleanse yourself. And then on the side they have a little water fountain that you take like a ladle and you wash your hands and you get blessed, you get cleansed before you go into the temple. And then you make a wish, or a prayer, your heart's desire, and throw a little coin in. Do a little bit of energy work, and voila, some of the most incredible statues you are going to see is around that area in Tokyo. Also went through a rickshaw ride, and that was fun. And if you get a lot a really a guide that speaks your language, it's really helpful because they're very, very knowledgeable. And you think they're quiet, right, to begin with. And then you go, they take you through some of the places in Tokyo where the geishas live. And there you whisper. And you have to be really quiet because they're honoring them. Yeah, like I said, the Japanese are an amazing group of people. And did I mention to you one of the really great things? And again, people in the United States, and I'm not saying you're slobs, but the Japanese people give you little wet towels to wash your hands before every meal. I know, what a concept, right? Wash your hands before the meal. And they make it easy for you. They just give it to you so you wash your hands right there and then you chow. Wow. Yeah, it's the little things in life, right? And they're always giving and gifting the Japanese people. Yeah, I understand mutually beneficial. And to me, that means you got a friend that, it's not all one-sided where you're giving, 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 and they're just taking, taking, taking. But there's a give, take, give, take, give, take, give, take. And the Japanese people, they would come to the seminar and they would bring little gifts. And then the people that came to the seminar from us people in the seminar was giving little gifts. So they're always giving and receiving. And when they receive, you're just so delighted. And it brings them joy to give. And I was on the receiving end of that joy for them. And I would like to think that I also reciprocated in kind, but they would laugh. I have an old iPhone 3, and in Japan, it's what they call an antique. You know, it's barely functional. And I have to say, on my end, barely functional was a good word. Try to put an app on an iPhone 3, they go, nope, not happening, because you have to upgrade. Well, they just don't mean upgrade an iPhone 3, they just mean get a whole darn new phone, right? So there's a lot of things I couldn't do. It was just a functional iPhone. And my beautiful friend Yasu, he looked at that and he goes, want a phone? I have an extra. It's an Android, not an iPhone, but you can have it. And I went, oh my heart, a brand new phone, Android. And oh my God, I mean, this thing has got all the bells and whistles on it. It's amazing. It cools down, it cleans itself up, it cuts out this, it adds this to it. It reminds you when you need to do this and clean up the junk. I mean, it's definitely an upgrade. So now I have no excuse not to be able to communicate with people. You know, trade-offs to everything. But this is how generous they are. They took me shopping in Sayoko. At the temple, said, what do you like? And I just said, this is beautiful. I go, how much is it? And they go, $100. And I go, I'm good. I don't need anything like that. It's fine. And she bought it for me as a gift and a present to remind me of my beautiful trip to Japan. She had these really cool shoes on. They're kind of like a cross between, ooh, let's see. Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz, her sparkly shoes, but they're not, they're black and white. And they're shoes that you would go out in. You would dress up, not in a dress, maybe a pants, and be able to suit and wear it and look really, really cool. Anyway, I made the remark how I thought those were really beautiful and la la la. And right before I got on the airplane, she met me to say goodbye. And guess what she had in her hands? Yeah, a pair of shoes in my size. And I have to tell you, they're the most comfortable shoes I have ever worn. So thank you again, Sayoko and Yasu. You know, mutually beneficial. You are my friends forever. Forever. Then they took me to the Tokyo Sky Tower, and it's the tallest tower in Tokyo, and it's a round tower. And you go up there, and the elevator goes 600 miles an hour up. You know, it is the smoothest ride you would ever think. You got to pop your ears. And all I could think of is, wow, the Japanese do like their speed. And before you know it, you're at the top. And that's when you realize, when you start looking out the window and see Tokyo from on high, and all you see is this forest of buildings, buildings, and as far as your eye can see in every direction, the horizon and beyond, a forest of buildings. Do you realize how huge Tokyo is? At one time, I thought Detroit was big, but you know, compared to their high rises, nah, I thought maybe LA, no. And then you can add New York City to it and all the buildings there, and it wouldn't even come close to what you're seeing in Tokyo. And people are polite. It's just amazing. And then I did the seminar, and that was really fun. People were very open-minded and willing to learn. And I learned also, it was like a mutually beneficial relationship. And I have to honor Yasu for being the interpreter. And I had my little book on Japanese translations, right? From the planet, whatever you want to call it, the planet Bible to in Japan. And I would go and look up a word, and these guys would grab their phones and punch in, translating. And then before I could even find the word in the book, they had that phone in front of my face going, speak. And then not all the time would what I speak actually come out in the right Japanese. So we had fun, but we actually managed to get the ideas across. And again, I've never, it's been a while since I've been with people who were such loving and kind and generous and thoughtful. Now, while I was with Yasu, he would take me out to lunch during the seminar. And, I kind of mentioned hot springs and how much I love them and how my daughter actually grew up swimming in hot springs. And I would go look for crystals. Yeah, where there were hot springs. So Sayoko was responsible for me, like for 4 days of the trip. And the last 3 days, I would be in Yasu's care. And we're going to do some energy work with some more women and go to some shrines. And actually, and this is so cool, go to Mount Fuji. Wow. One of the women there actually rented a van and took us up there. It's an amazing drive, as you leave Tokyo behind and all the buildings, and then you start getting into country, and then you start getting into rolling hills, and then the Mount Foot Mount, the Mount, yeah, the mountains at the foot of Mount Fuji. And then you see Mount Fuji, and it's breathtaking. And being there in February, there was snow on the mountains, and I just caught my breath, the sacredness of it. Oh my goodness, it literally took my breath away. And I felt like I've been there before. And then you get to Mount Fuji itself, and they've got, of course, a big park there with the roller coasters and the an amusement park. And we didn't do that. Instead, we went to one of the sacred shrines there. And I think this is the oldest shrine up there that has trees. One tree is over 1,000 years old. And I'm sure the other trees were over 500. And you could go hug them. Not the 1,000-year-old one, but the other trees. The energy that you felt and the sacredness and being with nature. So I went and I hugged the tree and I said, Grandfather tree, please just give me any information that I can use to help the planet move forward into enlightenment. Now, while I was doing that, one of the ladies who's a really awesome photographer took a picture of me with this green, huge green orb above my head. I don't know what that means, but I thought that was pretty cool. So we did the shrines and we did more prayers. We did energy work for Valentine's Day, asking that people would draw to them their divine mates. And then the ladies left, and Yasu had us booked at this incredible hotel for the night that actually had, yes, hot springs. Oh my God. I will have to say, these were the most incredible hot springs and healing hot springs I have ever experienced in my life. the healing, the heat, and it was right in the hotel. Couldn't ask for anything more. So we get to the hotel and Yasu had some things to do. And I thought, oh, well, hey, I'm going to go take a little, some few pictures of Mount Fuji as the sun's setting. And I should be able to get back okay. Yeah, we make plans and glad laughs, right? So I went and did my thing. I took my pictures and then I turned around and I tried to come back. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know it, everything looked alike. I was so confused. I actually got lost. And I'm thinking, oh, this is great. I'm lost. I took all the paperwork about the hotel. I took that out of my pocket. But lo and behold, thank God I had the room key. And on the room key, it had the name of the hotel. How brilliant of them, right? God. So as I'm walking around aimlessly thinking, oh God, this isn't really good. This is not going to work. I really need help. And I don't even have my Japanese translating book with me. Woo, go Kathy, go Kathy. there was this little place that was open and the lights were on and I figured, oh, what the hell? I went in with the probably worst look on my face, which I'm really good at, especially when I get a flat tire and I need help on the side of the road because I hate to change my flat tires. So I had that look like, oh my God, do I need help? Which I did, no denying. And once they understood that I was lost, the guy kind of sort of spoke English, thank God. And he actually said, I will take you to your hotel. And he drove me to my hotel. Now, you know, you guys, you get lost in the mainland in the United States, the odds of somebody doing that for you just like that are only on your grace, okay? Only if the angels bring them to you. And this guy and this lady was definitely an angel. So they took me to my room, to my hotel, left me off. And I'm thinking, oh my God, thank you. You saved me. It really would have been embarrassing. So now in this hotel, which is awesome, they also give you a breakfast in the morning and then they give you a dinner at night. Yeah. And the dinner is kind of, it's really old Japanese style. It's where you cook your own dinner and they've got this little wok in the center, little heated stove, and you throw your food on and they bring out all this raw meat and raw fish. And, it's really fun. And I did go out of my comfort zone and on my side, somebody gave me some raw octopus with, you know, little cups on them, little feet, you know, and I tried to eat it. I couldn't. It was like rubber. So I did have to spit that out kindly into my napkin and hope that he didn't see it. But, you know, you learn by doing. I could do everything, but octopus is just not for me. Okay. And the meal is like this 6-7 course meal. You get soup, you get lettuce, you get this, you get all these meats and rice. And if you order anything extra, I mean, it's just incredible. So then after that, we did the hot springs. And when my friend first told me that we're going to do the hot springs, I looked at him, and I went, oh my God. I go, I can't do it. I didn't bring a bathing suit. And he just looked at me in a straight face, which I have to give him points for. And he goes, oh no, this is Japanese style. And I'm thinking, naked. Oh, great. Men and women naked. I don't know if I can do that. Okay. Well, you know, I was brain dead. I will admit, very brain dead. I will own it because the women and the men's baths are separate. Yeah. So, and I actually had, when I went in for my spa time, one lady was there. She got out, let me have it to myself, and I had it to myself. Wow, you have to, if you go to Mount Fuji, you gotta do the hot springs. And I think this place was called Mount Fuji Hot Springs. Oh, it was amazing. I would definitely go back there. And then we took a bus back to Tokyo. That was really interesting because I was so tired, all I could do was sleep. I mean, Mount Fuji was behind me. That's what I really wanted to see, and I've seen buildings, so going into Tokyo, that didn't excite me. So we got there and I did a little bit more energy work, and then it was time to go back. So my friends, it was so sad to say goodbye because it was so wonderful and the people were loving and it was very magical. And if you get a chance to go, go, but just take extra radiation precautions. Take extra masks, get heavy duty face masks, paint masks, whatever, chemical masks, and wear them. People over there aren't going to care because they're used to seeing people wearing masks. How easy is that? Wear them on the airplane. Now, after I got back, well, actually, when I got on the plane, I ended up right kind of over the wing, and something, they let off some kind of gas before I could actually get my face mask on. And all I could think of is, oh, that's not really good. And then, of course, I wore the mask. And when I got home, I was fine. The next day, I was down for the count. And I'm going to attribute to not wearing a mask in Tokyo and also high radiation. So, starting this Monday on Facebook, you all are invited to join me 4:30 to 5. 15, 30 minutes once a week. We're going to start giving extra attention to the radiation in the air and to Fukushima and do our best to calm it down. Because if we don't, guys, we're toast. It's not getting better. With every breath, it is letting more radiation into the air and our hair on our air and our earth is getting more radiated. And again, I believe we put enough attention in this and do the energy, the magic, we can make change. So I'm going to see if I can actually do a live video from Facebook. And then you can join in by tuning in that way. So my Facebook page is Kathy Bilski. How easy is that, right? You want people to find you, use your name, go figure. So I really invite you to join us for on Mondays, and it will be between 4:30 and 5 o'clock. That is Hawaiian time. That would be 6:37 Pacific. 5 hours later, it would be 9:30 to 10 Eastern time. So y'all can get it in, okay? You can get it in. We need your energy. We really, really need your intent. The more people that join in, the sooner and the quicker we're going to solve the problem. So again, I would go back to Japan. Oh, yeah, in a heartbeat. But I would take more precautions. I would take more vitamins. I did do iodine. You put that on your throat before you fly, after you fly, while I was in Tokyo. I had filtered water. I took my own water filtration system. So even at Mount Fuji, where the water's pretty clean, I still filtered it. And now that I'm home, I am doing extra tea of turmeric, ginger, lemon, and horseradish, it's a blood purifier, and that's all natural antibiotics. I'm doing extra vitamin D3. I'm doing extra vitamins. I'm still doing the iodine. I don't need thyroid problems. Thank you very much. Lots of water, lots of juice. And I'm making sure I rest still because I'm not 100%. And I don't need to lapse. Thank you very much. Oh, yeah. And get those enemas in. I know how nobody wants to listen to those or do them, but it is pulling out that radiation much quicker. And you're going to get healthier quicker. So, on that note, I hope to see you Monday night and join us for neutralizing radiation on the planet and Fukushima. And guys, if you can, there is a Green Action in Japan needs our help. The governor of Japan's Fuki province approved the restart of two reactors at the Ohai nuclear plant near Kyoto, only a few hundred miles from the Fukushima nuclear disaster. The guy's insane. This took place in the face of much public opposition. And we are supporting the activists of Kyoto as they fight to keep the reactors offline. On February 16th, Kyoto citizens and others from the surrounding region went to Kyoto City to urge legislators to oppose the Ohai nuclear power plant restart. So you can find their petition. I think it's under CARE, and please sign it and share it. And no more nuclear reactors, and let's calm this radiation down. And on that note, I'm going to say aloha, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
What makes new Simply Summer's Eve Feminine Wash different? It's simple. Seriously, that's the answer. It's made with simple ingredients. Ingredients that help stop odor and help you maintain a naturally healthy pH, gently and effectively. Here's what Simply Summer's Eve ingredients do not include: harsh chemicals, dyes, alcohol, or parabens. And it comes in light, refreshing scents like mandarin blossom and coconut water. New Simply Summer's Eve Gentle Foaming Wash and Cleansing Cloths. Gentle by nature. Click the tile to learn more.